You're listening to The MemoCast, brought to you by Wreck-It Magazine.
This is episode 10 of the MemoCast, entitled here on my sheet, What? My name is Mike.
I am Armando.
And this week we're going to get started right off the bat with some news from the Nerdosphere. Okay, so first note here is that Homestar Runner is back after a huge...
I think it was like they hadn't put out like content in like, what, 5 years?
Yeah, it was really long. So Homestar Runner is back. I love Trogdor. That's like my biggest Homestar Runner memory. So
yeah, no, it's funny because I feel like sometime in my college days, kind of lost what was going on with those guys, and then so I didn't really know that they had stopped doing things. So I was like, oh wow, so they're back. I didn't know they were gone. I just figured it's something I grew out of. But the fact that they're back means I should check them out.
Yeah, we should definitely check that out. So, yeah, go ahead and check those guys out. I'm going to bounce it over to Mondo, speaking of new things.
Okay. New things is Batgirl. They have a new creative team going on there. Gail Simone is going to no longer be working on the book as of issue 35. And on top of that, there's also a new look for the costume. And so I can't really say much about the creative team working. I'm not really familiar with what they've done in the past. But as far as what I've seen image-wise from the new costume, I like it. I think it's very functional. I know there's been some hubbub about it. And, everyone gets angry about these kinds of things. But
nerds love to get angry.
Yes, we do. Trust me, I was in a comic book shop on Sunday watching Melinda get really heated about stuff, but in a good way.
Okay.
And so I like it. I think the best part is the detachable cap, or cape, the detachable cape.
Okay.
And someone was saying, for the Batgirl on the go.
It's got to be functional, like Edna Mode said, no capes.
Yeah.
So just in case, you got to detach it so she doesn't get stuck in your jet engine.
Exactly. I don't know how she would get near a jet engine like that, but yeah, it makes perfect sense. So we'll right now I think we're on issue 32, so we won't see these changes for another 3 issues.
Okay.
When we do, we can give a proper evaluation. And so, Mike, you have the next tidbit really quick?
Oh, yeah. So there's no Emmy nomination for The Simpsons this year. What? Okay, that's where the what came from.
Yeah, that's exactly where it came from. And I was hoping you would eventually pick up on that.
Yeah, no, I don't think The Simpsons should have been nominated for an Emmy for, like, the last 10 years.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I feel like years 11 through 19, they shouldn't have been nominated, and I feel like this is the first time in, like, 10 years they've actually earned it, and then they don't get it.
Yeah, they did some cool shorts with, like, some of the musical shorts that they did, with, like, Maggie and Daycare, and the musical instrument town that they did. Those were actually really cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, like, for the longest time, they didn't deserve it, and then the 1 year they decided to bring it back and actually be, worthy of the name The Simpsons, they don't get it. Which, especially with like episode like Brick Like Me, that's arguably one of the top 15 episodes ever made, if you ask this guy right here. You know? And it's not even just because of my, like, fond nostalgia for the Lego movie, but I just feel it was really perfectly executed.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Even down to, like, it felt like an old Simpsons episode because you had all this, like, love and emotion going on in there, which I feel like a lot of times it's lacked. There's not been much heart.
What do you think is the best Simpsons episode?
That one's hard, and I feel like I don't think it's a cop out, but just the one I can always come back to, no questions asked, and always enjoy is Monorail.
Well, how did I know you were gonna say that? I was like, he's gonna say Monorail, isn't he? I think it's a tie between Monorail, the Hank Scorpio episode, and the one where Harvey Fierstein was on.
Okay, you know what? You only move twice. I would say would usurp the position of Monorail, but only because Hank Scorpio is
the best boss ever.
He's a super villain who treats his employees better than
Starbucks does.
Every company.
That was pretty awesome.
He's like, we all need hammocks. Like, hey Homer, do you mind knocking a guy or two on your way out?
He tackles the James Bond character and he's like, thanks Homer.
No, you don't.
Like, oh man, I'm gonna go back and watch those now.
Yeah, remember the theme song at the end, Scorpio?
Oh, yeah,
that was the best part. Is he goes, what team did Homer want? The Dallas Cowboys.
Something
I know it's not the Dallas Cowboys, but it's a start. The Denver Broncos. You just don't understand football, Mark. Like that. Okay, so that one. Yeah. I'll say that one and then Monorail. Mm-hmm. And speaking of laughs and comedy, the Meltdown Comics in, I guess, West Hollywood, L.A., whatever you want to call it. It's on Sunset. They do a comedy show every Wednesday. It's really good. And they've been doing this for 4 years now. I attend whenever possible for the last 2.5 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. So I haven't been there since day one. I've been aware of it for a long time. So a while ago, they got a chance to shoot a pilot for Comedy Central. And that pilot got picked up. Oh. And so the season starts next week. And so they have, like, a pre-episode up on ComedyCentral.com, and it's really good. Originally I thought it was the first episode, but it's, like, a more, like, I guess they shot an episode to promo to put online to get people buzzed about it. And it's really cool. There's a lot of cameos and guest stars. David Koechner is one of the comedians for the night. Adam Scott comes out and has, like, he steals the show when he comes out.
He's Adam Scott.
But it's really funny because they're, like, talking about, like, oh, like, the theme is, like, you know, first crushes. Mm-hmm. And so then some, you know, they ask her, oh, what's your first crush? And goes, Adam Scott. And then he just happens to be there and comes out and, like, proposes to her. And then Kumail is like, but you're married. And then he pulls off the ring. So how about it? Like, it's just...
That's awesome.
And the part is they said, you just show up whenever people call your name, only when it involves crushes. And so, you know, it was a really cool improv thing going on his behalf. And for those of you who have never been to Meltdown Comics, you should go. They do have a lot of fun events. You know, I know they do a lot of, like, tabletop gaming and even, like, do, like, Celebrity Dungeons & Dragons, like live events there. And speaking of Dungeons & Dragons, there's been a lot going on in that realm, so Mike is actually going to talk to you about that.
Okay, so, yeah, I don't know if we talked about it before, but they did the unveiling of the D&D box set a couple weeks ago, and that was really cool. But then, on top of it, they're actually doing a live playthrough involving D&D, like, Wizards of the Coast staff, every Monday at 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on Twitch. I believe it's WOTC D&D is the Twitch stream. We'll put the link up in the description. But yeah, the first one was week before last. They skipped a week because of conflict issues. But it was actually really, really cool. And you get to see, if you're thinking about playing through the box set, don't watch the live stream because it's super spoiler heavy. But if you're a DM and you're interested in running the box set like I am, go ahead and watch it. It's really cool. Greg does an amazing job of DMing. He has a DMing style that's close to mine where he actually really gets into all his NPCs and, like, does funny voices and interesting things. And and if you've never played D&D before and you're interested in seeing what a D&D session is like, go ahead and watch it because it gives you a pretty good idea. There's, like, they have all the people there. Like, there's the new chick who's never played D&D before. So she's, like, looking at her character sheet, like, can I do this thing next?
Yeah.
What dice do I roll? I don't know. And then they have, like, the guy who's, like, on the R&D team that's like, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, use all points of my inspiration, roll this, and I'm going to role play like an asshole. Like, so it's really funny. It's really interesting. I think it's The Lost Minds of Fandalver or something like that is the name of the adventure.
You know what the sad part is? I've been watching so much wrestling. Whenever we get this box set, all I'm going to want to do is do, like, wrestling moves. Can I do a super kick?
If you play, oh no, they don't have a monk in the box set, so no.
Damn it! I want to be. It's like, can I do a flying lariat?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. You have to roll for it. I get a 20. You kill the dragon with a lariat. I don't know how, but he's a jobber. He's here to make you look good.
And now, because you rolled a 20 and you killed the dragon, he's here to make you look good. You have to turn heel.
You have to turn heel, and then you just hear Triple H's music, or I guess in this one, King Levesque.
King Levesque.
King Levesque the Third comes out to his bard.
And they're lighting, like, fireworks, like, for the pyrotechnics.
They're shooting magic missiles.
He has three mages casting prestidigitations, causing floating lights.
He's the king.
It's good to be the king. No, you know what? I feel like he would be like the local baron, And Vince McMahon is the king.
Okay, this is true. He's more of a baron.
Yeah, he's the evil baron. So yeah, go ahead and watch this 4 p.m. every Monday on their Twitch stream. We'll put the link in the description of this post, and hopefully I can get the box set soon. I got a delivery notice thing from Amazon this morning, so I don't know if it was like, hey, we're sending this out to you, or hey, there was a problem with your delivery. So I don't know. So hopefully we can get the box set soon, and we'll do the special episode that we promised.
Yes. Speaking of soon and special, Weird Al has a new record coming out soon. Mm-hmm. And to give us a little teaser, he released the first single called Tacky. And so, yeah.
It's a funny-ass video.
It's a really funny-ass video. So it's called Tacky. It's a parody of Pharrell's Happy. Mm-hmm. And on top of being filmed in Julianne Moore's apartment from The Big Lebowski, which you don't catch unless you pay attention to those first, 25 seconds.
Yeah.
I barely caught it. I saw it twice. And then also the description said so.
Mm. I didn't read the description. I just watched the video.
Yeah. But I was like, hey, they're right. Lots of cameos. You have Christian Shaw, Jack Black, Margaret Cho, Aisha Tyler. And I was just joking about this when we were watching. I feel like Weird Al just sent out a press release to all celebrities and their agents. All right, who do you represent likes me? I need extras. And then they just jumped at the chance.
Yeah, it was a funny video, I think. And, you know, he was just, hey, if you like these stupid things, you might be tacky like me. And I was like, I do some of those things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's funny because everyone puts their own little spin on, what is tacky, you know? Like, I remember, Jack Black, twerks at one point, those ugly pants.
And he's wearing a fanny pack. I think that's the best part. He's wearing a fanny pack.
Wearing a fanny pack. Christian Shaw has, that shirt with, the handprints on the boobs. I'm like, yeah, that's super tacky.
Yep, and I've seen chicks wearing those, non-ironically.
Yeah, it's just
whenever I go out to L.A., I'm like, oh, hey. All right.
It's like, you do that. You do you.
Yeah.
But no, so it was really good. But speaking of where, I forget where I read this, and I'll have to double check to figure out, if this is even a reliable source or not. But someone was saying this is possibly his last album.
I don't know. I didn't hear anything about that.
That's what I'm saying. It might have not been a very reliable source. And for me, I don't get why he would retire. I mean, it's not like he's lost any of his ability to create, funny parodies, you know? Every record is enjoyable. It just depends on how familiar you are with, current pop hits.
Yeah.
Really is what would determine whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm. I think they age gracefully, too.
Yeah.
Well, some of them. I still have, Bad Hair Day sitting in my CD case at my house, and I'm just, every now and then I'll just, pop it in and just be like,
isn't that the one with Amish Paradise on it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. See, a lot of them do that one, like a sturgeon, not so much, but or like a surgeon.
Yeah, like a surgeon, like not like a sturgeon.
That was actually a joke in Tiny Toons.
Was it?
Yeah, they did like a sturgeon joke, and there's a sturgeon fish as a surgeon, which is really weird.
Yeah,
my mind remembers dumb little things like that.
I'm trying to remember. I was like, do I remember that? Because I watched a lot of Tiny Toons as a kid.
But talking about Weird Al, what is arguably your favorite Weird Al song?
Amish Paradise is up there, but I am partial to the Food album.
Yeah,
with
I said Eat It. Song, not album.
Well, I'm just saying, because the thing is, as a kid, I listened to a lot of Weird Al.
Yeah, I think a lot of us
did. Yeah, I had a few Weird Al albums that my parents were like, I don't know what happened to it, Michael. It's gone. I don't.
As you see it being casually tossed in a dumpster.
Yeah. So, Amish Paradise is up there. I also like Prank Phone Calls.
Yeah.
And that was another good one. Don't go chase him. Don't go make him prank phone. Because of the Simpsons reference, or the little bit they made in the middle there. I'm also partial to Eat It.
Yeah.
And then
I'm fat
is another good one. And then, The White Stuff.
Yeah.
That's another good one where they're making fun of New Kids on the Block's Right Stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, what was the name of the Star Wars one? Is he the name of
Anakin
guy?
Yeah, My Mind is Anakin guy. I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
But that Pretty Fly for a Jedi is another one.
White and Nerdy.
White and Nerdy. That was one of those recent ones, though.
But that was really good because he came out hard. Because I think, isn't that a Chameleon Millionaire song or something? It's some rando guy, but the point is he worked that song so well, especially in the video, you know, because he's trying to be hard while being white and nerdy.
Yeah,
but he does it so well because he's Weird Al to where he sells it, and just the song in itself is just a fun thing to listen to. So it's like, you know, it's like I don't try to stick to just the classics because at any point, you know, like Poodle Hat was another great album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that one, not recent, but it was about 10 years ago, yeah. I think. Maybe 13 years
ago. Now, that's two things I got to go. I got to go home, and I got to watch The Simpsons, and then I got to listen to Weird Al. It's going to be like the 90s all over again.
Yeah. And then, didn't he have a record Alapalooza or something like that?
Something like that. It's been so long. Like, yeah, I said, those records just disappeared, and like I never saw them again.
Yeah, I think the artwork is like a parody of Jurassic Park, right?
Yeah, it has him like hunched over the thing. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't know if that's the actual title, but something similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
No, and so he does original like polka jams every now and again, which are still fun.
Alternative polka is a good one where he basically just covers a bunch of songs, like alternative songs from the 90s.
Yeah.
So he does like Rage Against the Machine, Smashing Pumpkins, like all these different alternative bands from the 90s as in polka style, as like a medley.
Yeah, no, so like I said, Weird Al is awesome. He did like a quick Q&A at Kamikaze last year, which was cool, but at the same time it was slightly a bummer because he came out late and then they made him leave early even though he didn't want to leave. I was like, come on, we only got like 25 minutes of Weird Al. We were promised 50, damn it. You know? And the worst part was that they opened the like floor. It was just like, hey, people, ask your questions. And there was people like who were asking either stuff that was dumb
mm-hmm.
or stuff they could wiki. It's like, dude, ask him something like interesting. Like, don't like be like,
are those people that just get up and, you know, mentally masturbate the announcer or whoever's like on the panel? Have you seen that before?
Yeah, I have.
I hate that.
But that wasn't the case here. Yeah. But I know what you're talking about. No, you know, it wasn't too bad. He still handled it charismatically, and he had a lot of fun with it. You know, not as good as the Rooker panel, Michael Rooker. he was pretty much just like, I'm Michael Rooker, asking me anything. It's stupid, I'm going to call you out on
it. That's awesome. We need more of that.
We need more. I feel like Michael Rooker should moderate every panel, everywhere, at all times.
Well, when we went to the Sailor Moon panel at Anime Expo, like the first five people were just like, oh my god, you're so amazing, and I love you, and I promise I wouldn't cry. And then, like, it was like, but do you have a question?
No! I just wanted to say that, bye! And then that poor black guy
had
his question.
He didn't get to ask his question. I was like, what is this guy going to ask? He looked really intense.
No, I feel bad. We'll never know.
We'll never know what black Sailor Moon fan, what his question was.
Yeah. Oh, well, it is lost to the abyss. And with that, we are here to take a quick little musical break because we've deviated from the original topic way too much. And so we have two songs. The first, I just felt like playing, it's called "The We're So Small" by The Epoxies, and it's about a band that is small trying to get bigger. And I feel like it'll fit with the theme of something we're going to talk about later in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second song is a song by The Aquabats. And the reason I decided that I wanted to play that one is because they are currently on their 20th anniversary tour. They just played Anaheim this past weekend. I didn't go, mostly because I had a date, and I'm going to see them at San Diego Comic-Con. And then they're also playing the Glass House in September, so I was like,
we should go to that one.
We should actually
plan like a big outing to go to that show.
We should. That's what I was about to actually say. We should just take the Mimo Cash Dare and do stuff. We're going to play Fashion Zombies. I was originally thinking maybe going something older, but considering like our outro music is like one of the oldest songs they have, so let's do something more recent.
Okay.
Whatever.
Fashion Zombies. Okay, everything like after Fashion Zombies from the Aquabats, I'm kind of just like, eh.
That whole record is, to be honest, Charge is my favorite record.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If I had to choose my top three right now, it would be Charge, The Return of the Aquabats, which is the first one, and then versus The Floating Eye of Death, which is, like, the weirdest fucking one.
Yeah, Floating Eye of Death was, like, I remember when you first showed that to me, like, when we were, like, sitting in, like, the drama department, you're like, yeah, we gotta listen to this. And I was just like, I'm seriously reconsidering this friendship.
Dude, it's so weird. Like, they have that song Canis Lupus, where it's just about dogs being cool.
It's the weirdest thing. All right, bye, guys.
Understood that everything would end like this. So hold me close, give me a kiss. suffering. All our problems turn to dust and ash. So hold me in your arms and put your lips to mine. There's nowhere we can run to when we're running out of time. You're beautiful and nothing matters anymore at all. The world's so big and we're so small. Sky. I check my watch and see the time is quickly slipping by. We always understood that everything would end like this. So hold me close, give me a kiss. Please don't you worry, baby, we won't feel a thing. They say it's over, it'll flash. A hydrogen solution to our suffering. All our problems turn to dust and ash. So hold me in your arms and put your lips to mine. There's nowhere we can run to and we're running out of time. You're beautiful and nothing matters anymore at all. The world's so big, we're so small.
Story about bears and licorice and bears with licorice arms.
Okay, Crash. How about this one? The floating eye of death.
The floating eye of what?
Once upon a time, there was a giant floating eyeball that flew across the land.
I like this story.
In search of human souls to devour.
I don't like this story.
We'll be right back.
was our musical break, so thanks for sticking with us, guys. And ladies and everybody in between, because I'm stealing Mike's thing, but I'm also doing it really horribly.
You stole my thing that you told me to stop doing?
Yeah. I said to stop doing it so often. Because that was like, you already have Bye Guys. You can't have, like, everything you do. Like, be like...
I'm the gimmick.
You're the Santino.
I'm what the people want to see.
Yes. This is the people want to hear.
What the people, yeah. I'm the face, if the face was a voice.
You're the voice. All right. So, talking about faces, or we're talking about heels, got some wrestling news. CM Punk, a lot of stuff going on with him this week and next week. The big thing this week is that his contract with the WWE, which he has, you know, effectively abdicated since Royal Rumble back in January, officially expires this Thursday, I believe. The 17th. 17th is this Thursday? No, 17th...
I like how we have, like, the ability to pull up a calendar at any second. Like,
given smartphones.
Yeah, we're just like, we live in an age where it's like, oh, yeah, 17 is Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, so it expires this Thursday, and so everyone's speculating, oh, is he going to make some kind of announcement? Is he just, like, whether he's, like, he's done officially? I mean, I'm assuming he's just done with the WWE for the foreseeable future, if not forever. Mm-hmm. But, like, the whole question at this point is, you know, like, is he going to say anything? Because he took, like, a huge, like, Twitter silence for the longest time, and then he came back during Stanley Cup season because he's a Blackhawks fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had like a little feud going on with Will Wheaton.
With Will Wheaton and with their the mascot,
yeah.
And then he said, you know, like, oh, if I whoever's team loses, they have to wear the other team's jersey in front of their stadium. And so when the Blackhawks lost, he wore the Kings jersey in front of the stadium, all sad.
I saw that picture; it was awesome.
It was pretty amazing. And so for the longest time, he hasn't been able to make TV appearances or anything as himself. The closest thing we got was he was on The Talking Dead. But he wasn't able to appear as CM Punk. He had to appear as Phil Brooks, his actual name.
Mm-hmm.
And they all they could say was like WWE like superstar, but they could never say it. And so, you know, like so with the contract ending, I think I forget how it works. But I believe CM Punk is one of the last people to actually be able to own like their wrestling name.
Okay.
You know, that's why a lot of the wrestlers choose weird random names not similar to their own these days. So I think he's one of the last few to have some kind of copyright claim over his name, but while on contract, he can't, like, appear at other events without WWE approval. That's why there was, like, some heat, you know, when he would go to, like, UFC stuff without permission, and then he'd have to, like, get it cleared.
Oh, okay.
And so, because of that, he's actually going to be at the Alternative Press Awards, which is a magazine, for those of you don't know. And he's going to be co-hosting their red carpet pre-show on Monday, the 21st.
That's going to be interesting.
That's going to be really hilarious, and you know it, because he's just going to be a dick to everybody. And so he's co-hosting the red carpet awards. And, like, my question is I was like, because he's billed as CM Punk, so I guess, like, you know, like, it's good to go. Just do whatever he wants. Because people were saying that WWE might extend his contract.
Yeah, I heard that rumor, too. Someone posted that.
And then it might extend his contract, because they do that for injured wrestlers. Mm-hmm. And, but, they're possibly thinking of doing it, or looking into it, I guess. You know, keep him from wrestling for another promotion. But with the way he's going, he might not wrestle anymore at all.
Yeah.
And he doesn't need to.
I feel like, you know what, I feel like... Because I've been in the nerdosphere, and wrestling is now adopted as part of the nerdosphere. Yeah. Like, it's part of us. And I've heard more CM Punk news now that he's not wrestling than ever before. Like, when he was doing all the crazy pipe bomb speech and all that stuff, and, you know, doing all this heel work and everything for WWE, I didn't hear anything about this guy. I was like, and then suddenly, like, oh my god, did you hear, like, CM Punk stopped wrestling? And I was like, what the fuck is CM Punk? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And so now, like, every day, the friends that we went and watched WrestleMania with, the guy whose birthday was, Lewis and Lacey, Lacey posts CM Punk news, like, on the daily. Like, every time there's something new, like, she's like, oh my god, CM Punk. And I'm like...
No, dude, there's a comic on the Botch Spot about this. There's two of them. There's one where they have, like, an investigative reporter, like, following CM Punk everywhere he goes.
Uh-huh.
And so the best part is... he's checking in with his editor, and he goes, I gotta call you, I'm busy, and then he hangs up, and then he's in the bathtub with CM Punk on his laptop, and he goes, who cares about this stuff? And then the guy responds, literally,
all of our readers.
That's so true.
I see more CM Punk news than anything. Like Daniel Bryan, like his shoulder injury. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, no, we didn't talk about that.
Like that's equally as like, oh my god, like Daniel Bryan's not gonna wrestle anymore. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, no, they were saying that it's way worse than they thought. We'll talk about that. Let's finish the Punk, and then we can actually talk about the former champion, yeah. Brian. The other comic that the Botch Spot has, which is really funny, is it's the same like team following him, mm-hmm. and because now him and AJ Lee got married,
yes,
so they're together, and so I guess like now they're spying on AJ Lee. And one of the best parts is, and he's checking in with his guy, and he's like, "Are you sure she's not pregnant? Let me check the ovaries." And then it flashes to them, and you just see AJ Lee with like a belly the size of a full grown human. And she goes, "Man, people really go to deep lengths to find out crap about you." And they show CM Punk hate everyone.
I think all this press attention is just gonna make like CM Punk turn heel in real life. Like heel in the ring, heel in life. He's just gonna be like the world's first supervillain.
But I to be honest, I would still buy his merchandise.
No, just I would go work for him. I'd be like, fuck it, let's go. We're gonna go work for CM. I'd become a punk.
The initiation to become part of one of his henchmen is you have to get GTS'd in.
You have to shave your head. I'd shave my head and get GTS'd in, and we'd go work for CM Punk.
I feel like now I'm just going to go off wrestling for a little bit. Speaking of GTS, the originator, or one of the bigger, more well-known leaders of the GTS, Kenta, mm-hmm. from New Japan Pro Wrestling, actually just got signed by WWE this past weekend. Yeah, it was a huge event with Hogan in Japan doing the live signing.
Nice. And
Kenta's essentially the biggest guy in Japan. Mm-hmm. He's the top dog. And so, I mean, like, the WWE signing him is, like, a huge deal. You know, and it was funny because I was showing Miguel, like, his highlight reel, like, all his best moves, and his little response was literally, Kenta's too good for the WWE. They're not going to use him right. They don't want him to go.
Keep him in his native land. We're doing this for his own good. We're not being xenophobic. We know how terrible we are.
No, keep him in Japan. In fact, have him make New Japan Pro the biggest thing ever.
Yeah.
But no, I think honestly he'll bring a new. Cause I feel like they're trying to get a lot more of the high flying guys into the wrestling. You know, because right now they have Sami Zayn, who's really big in there. Adrian Neville's another good one. So he's from the UK. Adrian Neville's from Canada, mm-hmm. and then. Kenta's from Japan, obviously, so I feel like they're trying to get, like, a lot of the international, like, high-fly wrestlers. They're trying to get, like, the people who have, like, big, big fan bases across the globe.
Okay.
To help build their international markets. Because now it's like, oh, Kenta's gonna be on NXT, and then WWE, maybe some kid in Japan, maybe I should buy the network.
Okay.
I feel like that's why they're trying to scout all these different superstars across the globe. Which for them is actually a good move.
Yeah, McMahon, you slippery bastard.
He needs to help bring back that stock.
Yeah, did it drop like a bunch in like one day?
He went from like a billionaire to a millionaire in a day.
Damn.
No, like he the stock lost like half its value, and then all of, like the wrestling fans who don't have like a lot of money started buying stock and being like, I now own part of Vince McMahon. I own 0.00001% of Vince.
And at the next stockholders meeting, this is gonna be. I can imagine they're all sitting down, and it's a bunch of like greasy like neck beards wearing like CM Punk shirts sitting on a table, and Vince McMahon and Triple H are just sitting at the table.
Whoa. Yeah, but they all have chairs.
They all have Kimono steel chairs. Oh, they all control like all the greasy wrestling fans control, like they have the controlling stake in WWE, and they all come in with like scripts of how they want the next year up to WrestleMania to go.
He's like, I think you'll find this adequate. It's like, what do you mean you want CM Punk to ride in on a dragon? Where are we gonna get a dragon?
Make it happen.
He's like, did you just see Triple H? Where are we gonna get CM Punk? I feel like the dragon's the easier of the two.
We can do the dragon. That's fine. We know a guy.
We have the genetic engineering capabilities. Yeah. We saw Jurassic Park.
We'll talk to Steven Spielberg. He can make something happen.
Yeah. But just before we leave this off, the company was actually cutting a lot of money recently. They let go of some wrestlers. No one really big. I feel like the biggest person they let go was a Brodus Clay. When I mean big, I mean more just by the guy's really big.
Yeah.
Like, they even let go. It sucks because they let go of Drew McIntyre and, I think, Jinder Mahal, who are really cool wrestlers, but I feel like this people just didn't take to them as much as they did. Yeah. So, you know, they just tell it, well, you know, it's got to cut. There's actually a really funny comic about this where it shows the WWE, like, cutting money. And one of the big ones, they have Rusev and Big E Langston in a match, like, each waving flags. And their flags are, like, smaller than their fists. And then you just see Vince talking to Triple H. And he goes, Triple H talking to Vince, I know we need to cut, you know, like, corners and save money for the budget. But do we really have to cut on the comically large flag budget?
I think that's part of what makes the WWE what it is. It's comically large flags.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to wave my patriotism. Russia sucks. And that's been a thing for like 30 years.
I think it's the same flag.
The Cold War never ended in the WWE.
Well, you know, recent world events, I don't think the Cold War ever ended, period.
It took a break.
Yeah.
It took a vacation.
I thought you guys were done with being communist. Like, that's what we wanted you to think.
Soviet Union on the other side of this thing.
Must destroy capitalism.
No, but on this final topic of wrestling, you know, you were talking about Daniel Bryan, and you know what? I feel like Punk not being there has kind of overshadowed that to an extent, which is a bummer because, you know, Bryan took forever to become champion. And to be honest, with things the way they were originally scripted, that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But with the whole Batista comeback not going nearly as well as they hoped.
Yeah, Batista.
Or when he had the blue outfit and he became Blue-tista.
Blue-tista. I feel like every, like, Batista thing is just going to be a reference to his name and then, like, a pun on his name.
Well, dude, someone, like, drew a sketch of, like, Batista leaving and it says, Bye-tista.
Bye-tista. We need to find these and post them up. It's just like all the different.
I'll use the Batista one as like the image for this week's like recap. It's actually the artist's name. I forget his last name. His name is Zach. I follow him on Instagram. He makes sketches, and I'm gonna buy some from him.
Yeah,
he has a really good like punk one where he's like, whoa.
Yeah, we should definitely put his like his profile Instagram. His website in the, yeah, in the description, like, of the
check
post.
His sketches. I'm buying them first, so suck it. But yeah, so it sucks because, like, people are saying, like, oh, the surgery is not as bad or is worse than they thought, and he might not be able to wrestle the same way. And not being able to go as hard as he used to, does that mean, like for the WWE, from a business standpoint, does it still make sense to bring him back in if he can't, like, do all the crazy stuff he was doing before?
Yeah, because he could take a bump. Like, he could – I've seen him, like, take some abuse just with that WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, where he falls through the table.
Yeah, who was that other guy? It was
Batista and Orton.
And was it Orton that took
Yeah, he hit the monitor in the back. Monitor on his back. That was not planned.
That was, yeah. Like, I even, like, it wasn't, like, Batista leaned over and was like, are you okay? Like, they caught it on camera. He leaned over and be like, can you keep going?
Yeah.
That was crazy. Then they immediately cut to, like, something else that, like, was not even involved in what was going on there.
Let's get a picture of JR.
Yeah.
Like, talking about forgetful cows.
It was ridiculous. But, like, yeah, he could take a bump, so it's... I don't know what's going
to
happen
in
now.
That industry, like, if you want to go far, you got to take a beating every now and again. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully things end up well for the champion. I would hate to see the Yes Movement, like, be cut short because of an injury, you know. But at the same time, I want him to take as much time as he needs. So I don't want it to be like Edge where he's just done physically, just can't do it. You know, because Edge had that problem with his back. And, like, if he tried to wrestle, he'd probably, like, kill himself.
Yeah, snap in half. So, yeah, the Yes Movement is now the Maybe Movement.
Yeah. But hopefully it'll be the... Okay, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Speaking of okay, yeah, I don't. This is that doesn't. We can't really segue from wrestling to aliens.
No, it's yeah. So, Aliens Isolation is coming out sometime this fall.
Yeah.
And
I like how we were looking up the game. We didn't check to
see what the exact release date was. But they announced. Here. Yeah, they announced. DLC starring the original Aliens cast.
Well, surviving cast.
Yeah, the surviving cast.
I forget who it is that passed away, but obviously they can't get them back.
So we got Sigourney back, and I originally was actually not on board with this at all, because originally they announced the DLC as only a pre-order bonus.
Yeah.
And you could only get the DLC through the pre-order. And I mean, it's the surviving cast, and I think it's called the Crew Expendable.
Yeah.
And I forgot what the other name of the other DLC is. But you're playing as all the old characters, or at least something to do with all the old characters.
Or that survive in the movie.
Yeah.
Which is really awesome, but I feel like just making it a pre-order only thing is it's not cool.
No, it was definitely a marketing gimmick, and I think there was enough backlash, especially from Jim Sterling, former reviews editor for Destructoid, and now the reviews editor for Escapist. He does a weekly bit called Jimquisition. I don't know why it escaped me. I was like, it has his name in it.
It's a pun.
Yeah.
How do you forget puns?
I hate puns.
I love puns.
I know. Everyone loves puns. I'm surrounded by them constantly. But anyways, Jim Sterling.
You better believe it.
Jim Sterling did a Jimquisition on why this is a terrible... I think he did Jimquisition on it. And he got all his Twitter fan base worked up. And I guess a lot of people reached out to Sega and said, hey, like, is this a DLC going to be available? Because I don't feel like pre-ordering it. I can't pre-order this. I don't have the money right now. And Sega came out and said, hey, or one of the developers working on the game through Sega came out and said, no, the DLC is going to be available at a later date. People who pre-ordered it are going to be able to get it day one, but at a later date, we're going to release it to everyone, and everyone's going to be able to, you know, pay like $5 or something for it. Don't quote me on the $5.
Yeah, don't quote him on the price point, but essentially, you know, it wouldn't be like, oh my god, you're paying an arm and a leg.
Yeah, so we need to make that Sigourney Weaver money back.
Yeah, but what's really cool is that, like, we're reading this, and I even forgot how long it had been. This is the first time she's playing Ripley, like, in 17 years.
17 years, yeah.
That's a really long time when you think about it.
Mm-hmm. But apparently, Alien Isolation as a game is actually really good. It's nothing like Colonial Marines.
Yeah.
Which...
Well, Blue Chunks! Well, it's only one person, and I don't think you get any real weapons. I think you kind of have to just scavenge.
No, it's a straight survival horror game, and yeah. I read an article where these guys were playing it on the Oculus Rift.
Well, that sounds scary.
Yeah, and he said that, like... He physically jumped, like he was like had his back to the wall, and he was moving down the corridor, and he could hear the alien breathing in the air ducts and skittering down halls, and that he physically, like, when the alien finally jumped out at him and was like going to get him, he like and like tried to, you know, run away. And actually, they had the guys at Sega when they debuted the game recently. They actually had people ripping off the Oculus Rift and running away. So it's really cool. So hopefully, I mean...
That should be in the commercial. Sega! Oh my god! What the fuck? He's like, here's what people have to say about the game. Oh my fucking shit. Get this off me. Get this off me.
Get me out of here!
Save me, Sigourney Weaver! Save me! I'm not in this game. I'm only DLC. Save me anyway!
Yeah, so I mean,
she's just there behind.
Yeah, she's just like there in the room because she decided to be. This is actually really good because the survival horror genre, video games wise, has been
very underutilized.
Yeah, it was really, really big back in the day with like Fatal Frame and the original Resident Evils were really good.
Yeah,
and then as time went on, and the original Fear was also a really good survival horror game, the original Dead Space. But as time goes on.
What's popular tends to change.
So developers and publishers are pushing more. They want everything to be like Call of Duty because Call of Duty is obviously the biggest selling video game in the current generations. And they want everything to be Call of Duty. They want everything to be action-packed, big
guns, big boom.
Yeah, big set pieces, all kinds of crazy stuff blowing up, and that's not survival horror. Survival horror is about disempowerment as a character.
Yeah.
And these new action-oriented games are... They don't do that. You're not afraid.
You're a beefcake with a gun.
Yeah, you know, you're a beefcake in Africa shooting people who are infected with a virus. And
yeah.
It's not, you never once feel afraid or, like, scared that you're going to die or that you're disempowered. You're like, nope, I got my gun.
Oh, yeah.
I got my partner who has a gun. Let's do this.
And you know what? I hate, and this isn't even just something that is characteristic of only video games, but of, like, all different media that we digest. When something gets really popular, it kind of overshadows all the other, like, aspects or facets of that, you know, entertainment, like, media.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all the other genres get overshadowed, and it's like those fan bases are still there. You can still cater to them. There's no need to just forget about them. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that Sega, you know, sucks that now they're third party or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, that... But it's... I'm glad to see Sega realize, hey, like, we want to do something. We want to go back to what was, you know, pretty... You know, popular before.
Yeah, no, definitely, and it's good to see another Aliens game that's not going to be absolute shite.
Yeah,
because okay, Colonial Marines. Well, the thing is, Gearbox completely screwed Sega over on Colonial Marines to the point where Sega actually had to threaten legal action against Gearbox. Yeah. so that Colonial Marines would even come out. Because with the development cycles, the way they matched up is Gearbox completely shunted Colonial Marines to a third-party developer, like a fourth-party developer, and was like, here, you guys handle Colonial Marines. We're going to focus all of our attention on Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
Which made Borderlands 2 amazing. I played the hell out of all those DLCs. Yeah,
everybody loves Borderlands 2.
Yeah, so...
I'm not even a huge gamer. I played a little bit, and I was like, this is fun.
Yeah, exactly. But as a result, Colonial Marines got pushed back for 6 years.
Yeah.
You know?
When anything gets pushed back that long, it's not... like it's dude, like, that really bad Guns N' Roses record, Chinese Democracy.
Oh.
You can find vinyl copies of that for, like, $1. Or less.
Yeah, no. I don't talk about that.
I was never even a huge Guns N' Roses fan, but, like, this is really awful.
This is terrible. Your Slash is going to play one of the local casinos. I've seen the billboards up, and it was like Slash at Morongo or something like that. So
it'll sell.
Yeah. What was his name in South Park? He was like the Slasher Vulcan or something like that, where he was like Santa Claus, where everyone's parents dressed up as Slash.
Yeah. When you said Slash though, I was thinking of like Ninja Turtles for a second.
Oh no, like, Slash the guitarist.
I was like, why is a cartoon character performing in casinos?
No,
that makes no sense.
So Slash for
Ninja Turtles. I understand. I know. But originally, because I'm in, like, turtle mode, because, like, Comic-Con's next week, and turtles. And
turtles.
I love turtles.
I like turtles,
Was it Ice Cream Kitty? No, I don't know if you watched the recent series, but in one of the episodes, April's cat gets exposed to, like, mutagen and gets turned to Ice Cream Kitty.
No, I have not seen that. I'm kind of glad I didn't.
Ice Cream Kitty is the best thing ever. Go fuck yourself.
Maybe I will.
And then Ice Cream Kitty and I will watch. Ice Cream Kitty's vegan.
Ice Cream Kitty's vegan. It's made out of dairy. The irony. The pure irony of that.
Yes. And we totally ended up not talking about aliens anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens. These are always the good ones. The banter episodes are always the best.
Yes. More banter, more problems.
Exactly.
All right. But we are on to the final subject, which actually has nothing to do with the outside world and more so with this show. And that's how we're moving on up.
Yeah, we made it to episode 10. So Mondo made a promise a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, and he's been keeping up with me because I sent him a bunch of leaks. And links, not leaks. And
by the way, they went amazing with the potatoes.
Mmm, good soup.
Mm-hmm.
But so we decided on the microphone we're going to buy to invest in to improve the sound quality of the show. I've been researching what we needed to do to get on Stitcher and also researching how to properly get an RSS feed for these episodes. And just given how we're still going to obviously still be on Rackin' Magazine, that's where you're going to find the episode. For those of you who want to subscribe or use Stitcher, the app from your phone, just to make things easier, we're going to have those options available to you. And we'll eventually have the RSS feed. I think I add an extra S.
RSSSS?
The RSSSS. The RSSS lagoon. No, so the RSS feed problems will be taken care of. I figured out how to fix them. No need to talk about that, but just know I'll get that, go into iTunes, and boom. And ideally, I want to say by episode 11 or 12, we should have it all hammered out.
Nice.
And we'll have broader reach and a better quality. I feel like the broader reach stuff will probably take 2 weeks, but I feel like the microphone we could easily have by next episode because I'm going to order it tomorrow.
Sweet.
Yeah. And so we're also going to have an interview next week's episode. I'm still working out the details. We're going to have Ivan, who is one of the masterminds behind Club Cosplay, the event I went to a few weeks ago, as they're gearing up for their second installment this August. And so we're going to interview him, and maybe we'll have him on for the whole show. Don't know yet, but we're going to talk to him more about how Club Cosplay became to be, and talk about the upcoming event, how they're going to go bigger, and just all the cool stuff about it. So
I'm excited. I actually might go in August.
You should. It's August 16th. Clear the calendar now.
Okay. I got to tell my girlfriend, hey, we're not doing anything August 16th.
Yeah. Yes. And on top of that, we're also, at some point, I'm going to be at Comic-Con for a little bit. I don't know if I'll actually make it in the Comic. I'm scheduling all my attendance for all the peripheral events going on. And so I'll be there. I should ideally be at the Heroes Brew Fest, Aquabat Show, Say Anything Show, Suicide Girls Burlesque, and
more a few burlesque.
Other things. Yes, more burlesque.
We could become burlesque aficionados.
Yes. Show up everywhere with top hats.
Top hats, monocles, little glasses of cognac, and yes. a cigar.
That's what's going to happen. So the episode, first, I think the first, no, the last episode of July, we'll be covering that. And then next week's club cosplay. And then August, the first episode of August, will be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
I suppose. Yeah, something like that. Yes, actually, we'll be Guardians of the Galaxy. And then, which we are, we keep talking movies we should see or are going to see. This one is going to happen.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're definitely going to see Guardians of the Galaxy.
And then we can watch Ninja Turtles. And I will cry. I just don't know if the tears will be of joy or of sadness.
We'll make sure that we go into, like, a really, really, like, dark, abandoned theater to watch it so you can hide your shame.
Yeah. Because of the shame. And with that, thank you for listening to this pivotal episode. We have finally made it into double digits, and hopefully this can see the light of episode 100.
Yeah, all right. Bye, guys. It's time to say goodbye.